back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're always online at npr.org/Bryant Park. Okay, internet class, World Wide Web lesson. First, download Google to your AOL using Alta Vista. Then using your letter typing machine, go to internet sites. There are many interesting things there. That's where the word internet comes from.
Interesting?
Using your emails, you can email these interesting things to family and friends. Who wrote this? You may need to use a mouse or a trackball. When enough of you do this, those things become most emailed things. And then we talk about them here on the mostices. Cue the music.
And we're out of time for the most.
Save me from myself. Dan Pashman, what do you got? Where's it from?
Hey, guys. We have a most emailed here from the Los Angeles Times entitled Super Fruits, Super Powers. And it's basically about this trend.
Okay.
There's a question mark in the headline. I was trying to denote the question mark.
Super powers.
You guys have heard of some of these trendy, fancy foreign fruits like acai, mangosteen, pomegranate. It's been big for a little while.
I just had a pomelo yesterday.
Pomelo.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds
a super fruit.
Okay, well,
in my opinion,
you know, the advertising pitch for a lot of these fruits is basically that they come from these exotic, faraway lands, and they're worth all the extra price because they have these amazing healing and/or restorative powers, antioxidants, etc., that have allowed other civilizations to live healthily for generations. And so people are buying these things up big time. In 2007, sales of goji berry-enhanced products were up nearly 75%. Pomegranate-related sales rose more than 60%. So this is big business. And the catch is that there hasn't been a lot of study done on any of these things. And we really don't know for sure exactly how healthy they are. Is a mangosteen a day really any more healthy than an apple a day? We don't know. And so the article is sort of making that point that while these things are trendy and there's a lot of claims out there, scientists say that we do need to study them more. Most of the studies that have been done have been small, short-term studies, not conducted on humans. And so whether they're worth the extra price and the impact of shipping them across the world, we still do not know.
Trish McKinney.
All right. So I have one of the most emailed and also most viewed stories at MSNBC.com. And I know first thing when I got up this morning, I clicked on this headline, Prisoner Forgotten in Cell for 4 Days.
Oh, it's terrible.
So this is a story out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. A woman was charged in court with charges of selling pirated CDs, but she's also allegedly an illegal immigrant. So the judge ordered her held. Pending, the next action. Well, the bailiff put her in a cell to await transport to a jail and forgot all about her. She was locked in this room without any food, without any water, without anywhere to go to the bathroom for 4 days. And part of the reason nobody heard her banging on the door for help is they had a big snowstorm, and so there were very few people in the courthouse where she was being held. She had to sleep on a bench using a shoe for a pillow. She had to improvise a way to go to the bathroom. When they finally let her out, they sent her to the hospital. She's been treated and released. And apparently the bailiff who forgot all about her is just devastated that he did that. He was only a bailiff for 2 months.
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one. Ian, sir, what do you have? Something
all right.
Sad, happy?
Scary.
Sad. Scary, okay.
Scary. This is the number 4 most emailed from the Boston Globe. Headline, Pear Plays Ghostly Recording. A little background. Apparently, the Middleborough, Massachusetts Town Hall was built in 1873, and there were these rumors that the architect of the project had committed suicide. That's since been debunked, but a man did die during the construction of Town Hall. And so there have always been these rumors that Town Hall's haunted. They finally brought in these two guys from the Paranormal Institute of New England. That's the number 1 paranormal institute in New England. To investigate, and they made some recordings. Let's hear the first recording of the haunted sound.
Turning my headphones up.
Now, they say that what you hear there is the words, help me.
No way.
Disagree.
No way.
I think you hear the words... But, they brought in a local. He's a radio host. And he made a recording, too. He says that in his recording, you hear just the word help. Let's hear that one.
Okay, that's a little creepy.
Yeah, that's definitely help.
But it sounds digitized. It sounds
if you're a ghost these days, that's how you operate.
That's how you roll.
You have the CDs. And
yes, in HD radio. That's how you operate.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ian.
Sure.
Allie, what do you have?
Oh, I'll go with mine. Mine has actually gone to number one most emailed on New York Times.
Nice.
It's called A Boy Named Sue and a Theory of Names. I don't know if you've seen, there's a book out there right now talking about bad baby names. And A Boy Named Sue obviously is a Johnny Cash song. And the article details about what happens if you give your kid a really hideous name. And I'll give you some of the names that are actually in the census. I'm a hog. I'm a pig. Major Slaughter. Please cope.
Wait, those are names?
Those are names that were actually found in the census from 1790 to 1930.
Major Slaughter.
Some people who were interviewed for this article, Candy Store, Merry Christmas, Rasp, Barry.
Oh,
I went to school with someone named Crystal Ball.
Did you?
Oh, yes. Isn't this like parental negligence of some kind?
Jacob has
my mom's maiden name is Candy Cane.
Candy Cane?
No.
Oh, man.
Well, there are people out there named Monster Moore and Goblin Fester. And the research shows that they have a significant influence when it's the only thing someone knows about the person. So on resumes, it's a problem. Maybe on college applications, a problem. But once somebody gets to know you, it's fine. And if they showed somebody a picture of an attractive person and then said that their name was something like, let's see, Infinity Hubbard, they didn't change their mind about the person.
But we still live in a culture where, you know, we do send in applications with our name.
Right. But as long as you're good looking, then none of that matters.
Then none of that matters.
Ah, the moral to the story.
If you're good looking.
Matt Martinez, you want to wrap it up?
I will. I have one of the most emailed stories on NPR.org. Does grease taste nicer at a feng shui McDonald's? Now, we did this on The Most a couple of weeks ago. About this restaurant in McDonald's, this McDonald's restaurant in California, designed using the ancient Chinese practice of feng shui. And NPR's Ben Bergman went there to check it out, and it's now, of course, on the most emailed list. And let's hear his report.
Ah, yes, vases of bamboo, earth-toned colors, waterfalls. This has to be what the inventors of feng shui had in mind thousands of years ago.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's. How can I help you?
Welcome to the country's first feng shui McDonald's.
Yeah, can I get a chicken nugget Happy Meal?
This Mickey D's in Hacienda Heights, California sounds just like the thousands of others until you meet the owner.
The doors don't align, so we confuse evil spirits and they stay out. And we keep the evil spirits in.
Mark Brownstein owns and operates 23 McDonald's in Southern California, including this one.
I love the flow of the store. There are no right angles. Everything's curved. Even the tables are rounded.
Sitting at one of those rounded tables next to a waterfall, Brownstein says going feng shui was all about appealing to local customers.
We wanted to make this store inviting to everybody, but particularly to the larger and growing Asian population in this area. In the last 10 years, it's gone from 27 to 36% Asian.
There was just one little problem. Brownstein didn't really know much about feng shui. So he hired Dr. Zhi Zhen Lu, a fourth generation feng shui grandmaster.
Grandmaster is mean you have a whole life to study about feng shui.
The grandmaster works with his daughter, Master Jenny Lu, as feng shui consultants, paid by the square foot. They've been hired by real estate companies, casinos, toy makers, and now McDonald's to bring harmony to fast food.
The circular fountain represents water, represents wholeness, fulfillment, and the square fountain represents earth, stability, and permanence. So together they create balance, yin and yang. So when you sit here, you get to appreciate this. It is a very primal form that's been used from the beginning of time for us.
For all the suggestions the Lu's made, there was one thing they couldn't change. The menu. Just like any other McDonald's, this one serves up trays and trays of fries, Big Macs, and milkshakes. But Master Lu says the effects of feng shui are so powerful that it doesn't really matter what you're eating.
When you're in an environment that's wonderful and peaceful and soothing, your whole mindset relaxes.
And Grandmaster Lu says when your mind relaxes,
the food becomes good. So mental, very important. They step in, they feel good, oh, wonderful. That part stronger than the poison food.
So it counteracts it.
Of course, that is the point. People love it.
That seems to be true for at least one customer eating here during a recent lunch hour. Tina Turner, no, not that Tina Turner, seems positively giddy about her meal.
I had a double cheeseburger and fries.
Turner says she feels very calm eating here.
It's not like any other McDonald's. You can relax and have a meal and enjoy it. My husband hasn't been in here, and I told him, when you go in and you'll see a leather booth at a McDonald's, I said, you're not going to believe it.
Since going feng shui a couple months ago, this McDonald's has brought serenity to its owners in at least one way. Business is up by double-digit margins.
Fun story, Ben Bergman. NPR's Ben Bergman reporting. You can find a link to all the stories you heard on The Most by going to our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.